All right, our only our agenda is here. We have at least one new person today, Dan Burnett, so he's going to introduce himself to the group, and then we're going to dive into how the Web Payments Interest Group / Verifiable Claims Task Force call went yesterday, the goals for next week's meeting around verifiable claims, and then just general administrivia about how we're going to run next week's meetings and the credentials meetings here on out. Any updates or additions to the agenda? Anything else we should discuss today? Okay, if not, who just joined? 202 area code.
Hi, it's Deb Everhart, ACB.
Hey, Deb. Great. Welcome. Okay, so any other changes to the agenda? If not, we'll go ahead and get started with an introduction to Dan Burnett. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, hi, everyone. Let's see. So I have a background in computer speech recognition. I worked for Nuance and a number of other companies doing that. While at Nuance, I started working in W3C, this was back in 99, on Voice XML. So I'm one of the people who created Voice XML, SOGS, SSML, the standards related to Voice XML. So basically, I've been doing work in W3C and IETF for a number of years now. Most recently, I've been working on WebRTC, where I am one of the spec editors for the two primary WebRTC specifications. Now that is on behalf of companies that I represented. For this particular group, this is work that I am just personally interested in. I think the first I heard about it was a year ago, and attended and just like listening in, I thought it was interesting. Hadn't had much of a chance to really follow it, but I'm now actually independent, and so although I do my WebRTC work representing a particular company, my participation here is as an individual. And when I get to it, I will go ahead and sign up separately, so a different W3C account and so on, to participate, and fill out the IPR disclosures, which will be pretty simple since it's just me as an individual. So anyway, thank you to all of you for doing this. I think it's great work that the world really needs.
Great. Thank you, Dan. And thanks for joining us. All right. Let's go ahead and jump in to the main agenda. Hey, Matt Collier, would you mind scribing today? I know you scribed the web payments call yesterday, so I apologize, but you're up on the scribe list.
Actually, I was just relieved of puppy duty, so I can do it now.
Oh, yay. Okay. All right. Never mind. Brian's going to do it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Switching over to Brian. First up, I'm getting echo through somebody's mic, so if you have the call on speaker, you might want to mute. Okay. So we had a proposal that we were running through the Web Payments Interest Group and W3C staff, a bunch of external companies that are not in this group, trying to get consensus around starting a task force to see if W3C should do something around verifiable claims, aka credentials, aka attestations. The big meeting, quote unquote big meeting, was yesterday and it went really well. In general, people were very supportive. They felt that the work should be done. The proposal in general, that we spent a lot of time on the phone last week just kind of making sure that this was aligned with what W3C members usually expect when they start new work, meaning that it was kind of modular and broken down neatly, that it was proposing a problem that people could identify with, like organizations, it's a pain point for organizations and they want to see standards in the area. And, you know, shopping it around last week in this group and with W3C staff helped crispen it up quite a bit. And as a result of that, we got a lot of buying last week so that the call on Monday went really well. So it wasn't all the way to what we want. Like, the task force isn't created yet, but the creation of the task force, personally, I feel is imminent. The W3C staff wanted us to talk about the problem statement a little more to make sure that we have alignment and buy-in because there were some organizations that were unfamiliar with the proposal on Monday that felt like other things like tokenization were in scope or should be in scope. Things like, you know, establishing identity on the web should be in scope. And so we had some discussion with them yesterday. And there was agreement at the end of that call to have effectively an open discussion next Tuesday at the same time. So we're all of us that are on the call today are invited to the call next week to talk about the problem statement in a bit more depth and try and refine it a bit or refine it more than it is right now, or just hear people's concerns around the problem statement. And then once we have the problem statement fairly crisp, we will go out and start pulling people in that specifically have pointed out that they're concerned about the work that we're doing to make sure that we document exactly what they think about the work and what they think the best path forward is and all that kind of stuff. All of this is being done to make sure that we're not making a mistake by going forward with the work. And if we're successful in making a case for credentials / verifiable claims / attestations, if we're successful in gathering enough data to make everyone feel comfortable with going forward with that work, we will be producing a W3C charter. We, meaning the Web Payments Interest Group, their verifiable claims task force proposal, with a large amount of input from everyone on the call today. Okay, so in the agenda, you know, I linked to kind of the outcome, a summary of the outcome, which is here, and then linked to the minutes of the discussion, which is member only, right here, and then linked to, of course, the task force proposal, which is right here. Okay, so that's how things went. Richard Varn, I'd be interested in hearing kind of your feeling of how it went, since you know you're not in the day-to-day of those meetings, so you might have picked up on stuff that I didn't pick up on. Go ahead.
So, you know, I heard this interested but unconvinced undertone to it. That I'll just kind of give you the statements I wrote down when you said reverses. Interested but unconvinced, so I heard a little bit of that. Interested but Sheldon. I mean, Big Bang Sheldon. Like, they're so obsessed over a particular nuance of a technical issue that they can't see the picture. They can't understand how they're relating to a group of people that might be trying to accomplish a larger social purpose when they're staring at tokenization saying, hey, this is important, look at this.
Right.
Sort of obsessed with process, which I think, you know, that they're in a process-oriented organization that's not unexpected, I guess. Protective without a stated purpose. They're being very protective of the notion that the payments should get solved and move forward. I get that part. But they never really understood why working with us in any way undermines what they're trying to accomplish. And then the last thing, the point I made, which I didn't quite know if it was helpful or if they got it, but the need for a user-driven association of an identity, a security mechanism, a claim, and for it to be integrated with methods of payment. I couldn't tell if they got why that's important. And maybe I'm not stating it correctly, so if I'm making the wrong argument, I need to know that. But this nesting of transactions, which is, you know, causes transactions not to work as well as they should or to work at all at times, which includes payments, has been the problem, as I see it. And those four things are what we're talking about solving in relationship to each other using existing technology. So I don't think they quite grasp that. Some do, I think. But as a group, I don't think they see that that's important to payment. And I don't think they can get the payments working the way they wish it to without it, and they don't think that. That was my read. They think that we're a nice-to-have add-on because we're bugging them, but they don't. They'd kind of rather just be left to their own Sheldon devices, was my read on it.
Yep, and I think a lot of those comments are fair. So let me, I mean, all of the comments are fair. So I think that's very good insight. Let me try and explain what I think some of the backstory behind, you know, those things are. So the most concerning thing, you know, I think the obsessed about details and obsessed about process are the easiest ones to deal with, right? So the obsessed about details kind of came from someone that he feels that the group isn't doing enough around identity and credentials. So it was stated in a very strange way, because that came from someone that basically said, what you guys are proposing isn't going far enough. That's fine, you should do credentials, but you should also do tokenization, and you should also solve the identity problem on the web. Actually tackle the big problem. Don't tackle these small problems. So it was just stated in a very strange way. So I had a discussion with him after the call, and he is looking at the proposals and injecting some of his thoughts into it. Like, for example, he's saying, look, PII in the financial industry, PII is a hot potato. Nobody wants to, you know, hold on to it for that long, and they really would rather not touch it, right? So rather than put everyone in PCI scope or make PII something that they even have to touch, why don't you work on a tokenization spec that enables the people to completely bypass the PII requirements? So a company doesn't need to touch any PII to make sure that they need to go through with a transaction. So don't send the Social Security number over. Send the tokenized version of it over that you can check with the U.S. government that proves that the person has that particular Social Security number. That was his point, but he tends to state things in ways that seem like he's arguing with you when he's not actually arguing with you. So that's the backstory behind the, you know, the obsessed with details. He's obsessed with details because he's obsessed with the things that he feels we're not saying, because he agrees with the other stuff that's down there. And, you know, the after action with him was he wants to help. He's trying to figure out how to do that right now. So that came from that. Okay, so I can't say the company, but we'll be able to talk a bit more about that next week. The other one, the obsessed with process one, is, you know, W3C has a process and they follow the process because that process has been whittled, you know, into the form it's in over the past, you know, 20 years. And it served them well. And so they like to see something fit into the process that they have. And I think they're really trying to be helpful. So the discussions that I had with W3C staff last week revolved around the question of, they basically said, look, we think the vision of this group, meaning the Credential Fiji, is grand and it's fantastic and we all want to see it. What we need to do is we need to convince the W3C membership, and they're only going to take 15 minutes to look at this proposal before they make their mind up on whether they're going to vote yes or no. Some of them might not even take that amount of time. So we need to be well armed to go in. We need to have enough information to go in and make the case, and we see some gaps, right, from a process perspective and a industry stakeholder benefits to industry stakeholder perspective. So effectively, give us talking points that we can go out and recruit more people into this work with. So that's why there's somewhat of an obsession around process, because one, they want to see something that fits into the nice process box that W3C has, and two, they want more information that allows them to go out and effectively recruit, you know, new W3C members and folks into the work. And I've seen the list that they have, And it's different from our group, but different in a very good way. And that I think, you know, if we're successful in giving them some good talking points, they can go and get some very big players in the financial industry involved, along with folks in education and healthcare and things of that nature. Richard, my brain's not working too well because it's still the morning. What were the other two points that you made? Because they were really good.
Well, I think it was tied to the relationship between these four things we continue to dance around, which is identity, security mechanism, the claim, and the association with the payment, and how those things interact with each other, which is what your friend, I guess, is actually pointing to. And that is a problem, but we're not trying to solve all four. We're just trying to solve them in relationship to each other. And in the payments piece, you know, was the point I was making was that we need to solve our problem of presenting a verifiable claim in relationship to how payments will work. And if we can do that collectively, collaboratively, that we'll be better off. And I don't know if they really appreciated that point and saw it as peripheral to their need to solve the digital payments and money issue, digital money issue. So, I don't know. I think they need some convincing on our use cases or our camera, what they said we have to bring back in is the main thing they want to see, problem statements. You know, that our problem statements need to reflect that in some way would be my advice.
Yeah. So part of the task force's job is to go out and collect more use cases that are compelling to financial industry. Let me also make a point of something I've learned last week. W3C staff said, listen, if education and healthcare are really the ones that are driving this, why don't we focus on them and not make this about, you know, the payment stuff? There are a subset of folks in the payments industry that absolutely believe that credentials and identity and this kind of stuff is vitally important. And those are people that are not technologists. They're not interested. They're not involved in the core work. They're just looking at it from a regulatory perspective and saying, we don't have straight through processing today, meaning you can't, you know, run a payment through the entire network completely automated when you don't know who the people at each end are. And if we had credentials that float along with the payment that were tokenized, like that's the holy grail as far as the payments industry, the payment network folks are concerned, right? And that's coming from a regulatory standpoint. So it's important to those people in the payments industry. The other group that it's important to are people that are actually working on the technology, and they're looking at the way web payment is done, like a payment is transacted, and they're looking at the way a credential is transacted, and there is a ton of overlap. There's at least 50% overlap, if not all the way up to 80% overlap on how it's done. So there's some amount of commonality there, and we believe that we could potentially do straight through processing if we had a credentials API and a payments API and figured out a way to hook them together. So there's that, right? So the payments industry is a bit fragmented. You've got the people that really where what you said, Richard, didn't resonate with them because they're unfamiliar with the problem space, right? They just, it's not a pain point for them because they're not in the part of the bank that deals with regulatory issues. There are other people that do deal with regulatory issues that care very deeply about it. And then there are the technologists that know that all this stuff is, I mean, it kind of sort of looks the same under the hood.
Right.
And they want to make sure that, you know, we have a
let me add that right in the regulatory thing, because you hit that really hard, and I think it's important. But they felt that, well, that's a one-time event. And the point I think that they're missing, we need to incorporate in with them, is that a lot of financial transactions in the world are not the kind that are just shopping. That's great. You know, those are things that money has to flow, and you basically have a use basic case of permissions. But a lot of the things that there's just slightly more complicated transactions, mortgages, things that you do transacting business with governments. There's a whole bunch of clustered around there where you're required to, in fact, present a credential before you're allowed to conduct a payment or a financial transaction. It's not one time. And yesterday, you know, I was one of several people asked to approve, for example, a $176,000 PO that was none of my business to approve. But it was on the email chain anyway, you know. So, it's an example like that. That's a compound transaction. And that's the part that I'm not, and if these are not the kind of use cases or problem statements we need to address in credentials, then, you know, then what I said to them is more appropriate. It says, we could solve this on our own, which you maybe heard me say that. We could do this all by ourselves without touching payments. So, yeah, that's true, but it would be a lot better if we could work together. And I think, how do we convince them of that is the point.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. And there are a number of people, like you heard a response from one of the central banks that said, that disagreed with that viewpoint, that this is a one-time thing. It's a one-and-done thing. Like the folks at the central bank are like, no, actually, we verify somebody's identity every single time we do our transactions, because all of our transactions are above $100,000 U.S. Right, we're not going to send $100,000
right.
from point A to point B without knowing absolutely who the person at each end of that transaction is, and we're going to check every single time we do the transaction to make sure that, you know, they're not on some kind of government watch list, they haven't, you know, been convicted of a crime, all that kind of stuff. So I think they'll come around. It just requires us to have a longer discussion with them, and I think that's what this task force, upcoming task force, is about.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns about the discussion or where we're headed? And then Shane, I don't know if you want to talk instead of typing in IRC.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily want to talk. Certainly people were saying that there was an onboarding thing, right? That was one of the times you need credentialing, and that's a one-time activity, so who cares? That was kind of Eric's example. I think your example is much better, which is, you know, is the ongoing verification that you're who you are and that your situation hasn't changed.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, for example, I was a board-certified surgeon yesterday, but now the board has revoked my credentials. I need to check that every time.
Right. Yep. Okay. So if there are no concerns about the meeting yesterday, we can chat a bit about what's going to happen from here on out. So if there are no objections, we'll move on to that. All right, so the goals of next week's meeting. I sent a proposal out to the Credential CG saying that these calls, the ones that we're on right now, be postponed until further notice. The call that will take its place is the Verifiable Claims Task Force call, which will start next Tuesday. Same time. We will have a different dial-in number. The extension changes and the SIP address changes, as does the IRC channel, but the time and the date stay the same. So hopefully everyone can make the call next week. We did that on purpose to make sure that we didn't lose anybody in the transition. We will be joined by a number of payment folks. And the goal of next week's meeting is to focus specifically around the goals and problem statements. So let me get a link to that there. So the link in IRC is the current proposal. W3C staff wants us to make sure that everybody's comfortable with the problem statement, what we're trying to address. Remember, with the problem statement, what we're trying to do is get something that's very crisp and succinct, something that a W3C member can look at for about 10 minutes, parse, and decide whether or not they're going to get their organization involved. It requires us to skip over a large number of details, but try and get at the heart of the problem. We reviewed this last week. I suggest that everyone on the call that's going to join next week reviews the problem statement again, make sure that you're okay with all of those things. If you want to add something or modify it, come up with specific text, right? The worst thing that we can do, there are going to be a couple of new people to the group that are going to do this next week where they start kind of openly pontificating about what the problem statement means and where we could go with it. But the only way that we can actually have something to have a discussion around is if somebody proposes specifically the text that they want to change. right? For example, currently it says that makes it easy for users to assert, but I disagree with that statement. I think, we don't really need to make it easy for users to assert. We just need to ensure that users can assert, like little nitpicky changes like that. So, if you have a change that you want, make sure to come up with some text to change it to, so that we can, resolve it and kind of move on from there. So the call next week, same date and time. We're going to be focusing on the problem statement. If we get through the problem statement and people don't have any larger issues around the problem statement, we can go to scoping and phasing and who the stakeholders are and, how we're going to run the meetings, the rest of the sections in that proposal. But primarily, we're going to be focusing on problem statement until W3C staff feels like we've talked it to death effectively. Let's see, there is a new page for the Verifiable Credentials Task Force that has the dial-in information. You're going to be dialing in the same way that you did today. Again, the only thing that changes is the extension, the number. If you dialed in via phone, the extension changes. If you're dialing in via SIP, there's this crazy IP address that you dial into, but it's the same. You're going to be connecting to the same system. We're going to be using the same mechanism to take notes, to scribe, to control the queue, all that kind of stuff. So operationally, nothing much changes. Any questions about the goals of the call next week? John, go ahead.
Let me just see if I understand this. I've been trying to follow the discussion over the last few weeks. Is it true that this is this a renaming of credentials, or is this a forking of? Is verifiable claims going to stay in existence and replace the credentials? Is it just another term that is sort of done for politically opportune reasons, or is this a sidetrack and will return to credentials at some point in the future as the name?
If the name is up to the group to decide, meaning when we, the final name that we pick is up to the group. The reason we changed it to verifiable claims is because W3C staff let us know that we were alienating people by using the word credentials. So
yeah.
we changed the name in an attempt to stop alienating people, but we really have no idea if the people that we were alienating view this as a change in the right direction. So,
right.
Personally, not speaking for any organization, I feel like we should just rename it back to credentials once we've got everything, resolved, because that's what we're talking about. But other people in the group might disagree and think that verifiable claims is a better name for it. I think let's bike shed the name after we have agreement on the problem statement and what we're going to do. Like we could, if the problem statement ends up being like what we're doing is we're creating a credentials ecosystem, then it doesn't really make any sense to call it verifiable claims. People have complained that verifiable claims is this, like, it doesn't mean anything. So that's why nobody's upset about it. Anyway, that's kind of where we are. Dan, you're on the queue.
Yes, essentially this is, it's basically the same question that John had, but just more specifically I want to ask, it sounds like this is not intended to be anything that is parallel or separate from what you have understood the credentials work to be so far.
Let me figure out the best way to.
I mean, it may be a rescoping of it, but the point is that I think you don't expect that there will be, in the end, that there is a path towards two activities, a verifiable claims activity and a credentials activity, whatever the two may be called.
Exactly. If we do our job right, they will be only one thing. And the hope is that they will build off of all the work we've been doing for the past year. One of the objections that came in was, which is ridiculous, is that you guys got a group of people together and you talked about this stuff in this open community, and we felt like we couldn't participate, and therefore you're biased, right? Because you didn't listen to what we said, even though we didn't, it was an open community and we could have just sent an email or joined the call or done what everybody on this call has done, which is just dial in. Like, because, you know, because you guys have moved past talking about the problem statement and you're picking a set of technologies that you want to use, you're biased. So we want a different group to talk about this, to go back to, you know, the initial discussion around the problem. And once we've nailed the problem down, then we can start talking about technologies, right? So in a way, it's exactly what the Credential CG did in the beginning. But because there were people that were like, yeah, that's not going to go anywhere, and now we have so much momentum, those same people are saying, wait, wait, you didn't listen to us because we weren't paying attention a year ago, but now we're paying attention and we want our voice to be heard. So who knows? I think we need to go into that discussion not talking about technology, not saying that we know what the right technological solution is, because maybe something will come up in the discussion that we didn't think of, and we will have to choose a different technology for a variety of different purposes. So, yes, Shane is saying it succinctly. So there's concern that we're in an echo chamber in this group, and this other task force is an attempt to test if the echo chamber is actually correct, or if we just completely, you know, missed the real problem. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And this is just the standards problem, right? So, once you have a standards track working group, then at that point you can say, if you didn't participate, shame on you. Unfortunately, at W3C, having a community group doesn't, or interest group or whatever, doesn't quite go to that level. And there are people who will completely ignore it until it actually gets, you know, closer to being something real. And then at that point, they want to start at the beginning. And having been on both sides of that, I understand both sides and appreciate both sides. So this is the right thing to do. I understand what you're saying. This is more of an attempt to rebrand than an attempt to start something that is intended to be parallel or separate.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no set of competing proposals. Again, I'm speaking from a personal standpoint. Just on a pure technical analysis level, I don't see a competing stack to what we're proposing in the problem statement. You could say, oh no, OpenID does this, or OAuth does this, or service-centric, you know, systems do this, but our assertion is that they do not, the outcomes of those systems are not the outcomes that we want, right? So we have crafted the problem statement very specifically around user-centric design, where people get to hold on to their credentials, they get to say who gets to see them, and that design paradigm is different from OpenID Connect's design paradigm and SAML's design paradigm and things of that nature. So we don't see a competing stack yet, but that doesn't mean that one couldn't be cobbled together using bits and pieces of like Jose and Fido and things like that. But what they would probably end up at is the same technical solution that we're proposing. I think that's where we are on the technology side. We have a set of technologies we're proposing. Somebody's going to have to come up with a counterproposal if they want to go in a different direction.
Okay, it's always possible. I'll just say from other groups I've been in, it's always possible to say, no, this is something we developed, you know, as we were fleshing out our understanding of the problem, and so of course when we get to, you know, a standards track group, that we will use this as input. To inform us about what we should develop on the technology side. Now the truth is that if you already have it meets the use cases and it's implemented somewhere, you have a strong advantage over other proposals that might come in at the same time.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, I mean, in summary, you know, the W3C community group process is a bit broken, because even if you go through the community group process, you have to start all over again, you know, quote unquote, start all over again, which is this task force. But because we've done so much background work, it goes much faster. Like, I don't expect this task force to last more than, you know, 2 to 3 months at most, before we have a working group charter, as long as we don't have people throwing bombs into the middle of the group and, you know,
right,
saying that we should full stop. So, yeah. Any other questions or concerns about the goals for the next week's meeting, what we're trying to accomplish? All right. If there is, you know, if there are no other questions on goals, administrivia, which we kind of already covered, here's the dial-in information there. We will send out an email probably today to set up the meeting for next Tuesday. Just, you know, on your calendars, you just change the name. We're meeting at the same time. Number changes, IRC channel changes, but all those links exist on that page that I just put out there. They will also be in the invite. That will go out later today. We are going to scribe and record the audio for these calls, primarily because we want to make sure that anyone that objects to the work being done, that we get them into this group and we get them on record, you know, on exactly their concerns, and there is a demonstration of good faith that we're trying to address their concerns as best we can, and it helps to have a record of doing that, a public record of doing that. Okay. Any other questions or concerns about next week or where we're headed? Okay, if not, we can end early and get 15 minutes of our lives back. Thanks again to everyone. This is great news, right? We're making good progress. I can see light at the end of the tunnel. So thank you, everyone, that helped us get here. For those of you in the U.S., have a fantastic Thanksgiving break. And for those of you that are not, I hope you eat well. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll meet again next Tuesday. Thanks all. Bye.